You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, January 5th, 2011. This is episode 165. Has it really been 3 years? Welcome to 2011, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, one of your hosts for the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology and its intersections with ministry. And joining me, as usual, is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and I have to say a happy anniversary to you. It was 3 years ago today that we recorded our very first Wells Tech podcast.
Was it actually today?
I think it was pretty close. Yeah.
So 3 years worth of podcasts. 165 episodes, yes. And you kept coming back for more. That's the amazing part.
Well, we really want to just take our hats off to our listener community. We have learned so much from the listeners on this podcast, and we look forward to whatever the future holds because we know technology is always changing, and we just appreciate that opportunity to take a look at it through the lens of ministry opportunities.
Yep, and that's probably the primary reason that we started, you know, all this is because we saw many opportunities to use technology for gospel purposes, let's say. And what's really been a neat thing, as you mentioned, is just the community that's grown up around the podcast. We hear from a lot of our listeners. I know I do, and I think you do too. When you go out and do workshops and such, we run across listeners all the time.
Yeah, I actually had one in my church on Christmas Eve.
Is that right?
took the opportunity to tell me how much he appreciated the show and how much he had learned from it. It was really wonderful to hear that kind of feedback, and we always enjoy that, and we hope to keep it going and continue to make it worthy of your listening time.
And that's one of the topics we like to discuss on these anniversary shows. I know we did it last year and the year before, is kind of a why Wells Tech. Why do we do this? And we already mentioned one of the maybe unforeseen, consequences, so to speak, of the podcast, and that's the community that's been built up, which has really been a blessing to both of us. But I think in general, it's helpful for our listeners, hopefully, for us to kind of look through all the stuff that's out there, all the technology that's coming out, cutting edge and otherwise, and try to figure out, is there a purpose for this that would serve the Lord? And sometimes that answer is no. Maybe it's just fun or a diversion or entertainment or whatever. But in many cases, what we're trying to do with this show, and hopefully we've been successful, is to figure out those special technologies that have very specific uses within the church or school. And that can vary from a web app, a piece of hardware, which will be one of my picks of the week this week. It could be just a general piece of software, a tip, a trick, whatever. I just have fun doing it, and I'd probably do it anyway. And the podcast gives me a venue, a platform to talk about it with somebody knowledgeable like yourself.
Oh, that's kind of scary, but thank you for that compliment. I have learned a lot from you for sure, Martin. And, I do enjoy doing it, but I'm not quite sure I would be as engaged with technology and ministry focus if we weren't
doing this
show. So it does kind of move me a little bit outside my comfort zone. Instead of just being an observer and watching the changes that are going on in our world in this digital age, you know, we're actually trying to engage with it and push the buttons a little bit more mm-hmm. than we would normally. And then, like you said, try to keep that ministry focus at all times. Maybe, for instance, my pick of the week this week is going to be one that's just a general application that's available via the web. But I'm going to look at it from a ministry standpoint. Yep. And I think it has a lot of value from a ministry standpoint. So, you know, it's an exciting world, an exciting time that we're living in, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to do this show and mm-hmm. learn and grow together in how we can use these tools for yep. for the glory of God.
So to our listeners, thank you for 3 years. I doubt if anybody's listened to all 165 episodes. In fact, I haven't even listened to all. Have you?
As we record them.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that actually counts. But we do appreciate you folks listening. And bring your friends. We'd love to increase the size of the community because that only makes it better. And we'd love to see that as a goal for the new year, is to increase our audience. You had
and
mentioned
also, Martin, just a quick plug for the fact that you can use all the resources from our 165 shows over and over again. So mm-hmm. that's a side benefit of having the podcast, is all these great interviews and resources and links. Our Wells Tech Wiki that we've built over the 3 years are available for reference. And I make use of that on a regular basis and send people to
too.
It on a regular basis.
Yeah, so, it's a nice catalog of all the research that's been done, both by us and by certainly our listeners. Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that we maybe wouldn't have done if we weren't doing the podcast, that's kind of what happened for this show, because we've spent some serious time investigating all of the smartphone apps, Bible apps, that are out there. In fact, we didn't even do an all-inclusive list, but we basically split up or divvied up all of the Bible apps out there. You took, Sally, the Apple stuff, the iOS stuff for the iPod Touch. You did, I assume you tested on your iPod Touch, but those would, many of them would work on the iPhone, of course, or the iPad. And I took all the Android apps. Now, those BlackBerry users out there, there's a few apps out there that we're not able to test because neither of us have a BlackBerry, but if you'd like to submit those, that would be great. But Sal, you took about 6 or 7 apps. I know I did 6 apps, and we thought maybe it would be good to share our results as people maybe got a bright, shiny new iPhone or an Android for Christmas, and you're wondering what Bible app to install. This is the show for you.
So, Martin, you took a pretty aggressive look at them and actually blogged your way through all of these different Android apps that you looked at. I don't have blog resources to point people to, but I did install all the different apps that I'm going to share and mm-hmm. Can give you a little bit of my personal view on it via this conversation.
Sure.
Hopefully it'll be of use to someone who's looking for a new Bible app out there.
So let's briefly touch. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the ones that I didn't rate very highly. I gave a grade to each one, and we'll put links to all of these reviews in the show notes. If you go to my blog, I have probably 6 or 7 paragraphs on each of the 6 apps that I reviewed. And I went kind of step by step and did feature by feature and gave each a grade. So let me actually roll back to the very first one that I did. And these were all Android apps, although some of them do have a iOS partner. So they've made them for different platforms. This first one, however, is an Android-only application. And it's from a company called Cadre Works. They only make Android apps, and they happen to make the Cadre Bible. And actually, I'll skip right to the grade. I gave this an A-. This was actually the second best app that I reviewed. So I started off kind of in a nice state here, because this app is offline access only, and you're going to find, and I'm sure you found that too, Sally, with iOS, you have kind of these mixes of some that need the web to provide the translation or the Bible, others that are totally offline, and then others that are both. Cadre Bible is one that is all offline. There really is not an online component. And that was one thing that I actually liked about it. It allowed you to download whatever translation you wanted. Now, all of these are free apps. We worked off of a list that actually YouVersion put together. And all of these are free apps, but in many cases, if you want a particular translation, like the NIV, for instance, which is typically the one that you and I use, you may need to pay for it. And that's the case with this app. I forget what the cost was. I want to say it was like $9.59 for the NIV version, which I did go ahead and purchase to do some testing with, because I was pretty impressed with the app itself. And this one works really, really well. I gave it an A-. The only negatives are a couple of the ways it displays text. The verses in landscape mode, or what they call parallel mode, were a little bit off and a little bit hard to read. There are a few other idiosyncrasies that you had to really tap it precisely on the verse number to get the menus to come up. But other than that, I thought this was really well done, and probably anybody that's looking for an offline app only, this is probably a great selection. That's the Cadre Bible. Android only. And,
Martin, I guess just looking at your list here, that's a pretty big compliment for you to give them an A-.
Yes.
You can give out a lot of A's on your list. You're kind of a tough reviewer.
Yeah. In fact, I'm not even going to go through the ones that I gave C's and D's to. I went through the Acro Bible, the Daily Bible, the Touch Bible, and Bible.is. And the highest grade that any of those got was a C+. In fact, the Acro Bible got a D for many different reasons, one of which it crashed all the time, so I really couldn't even test the search feature. So there's a lot of junk out there. I think they're trying, but they definitely don't measure up to the Cadre Bible. And then my top pick, before we go to yours, Sally, was YouVersion, which is no great surprise. That's the one that I use day in and day out. This is kind of a hybrid solution where there's a YouVersion.com, which is a very nice online Bible. So this is an Android complement to that, which kind of goes back and forth with the online and offline. My only gripe really about YouVersion is that you can't download the NIV, even for pay. I mean, I would have happily paid to download the rights to have the NIV offline. But in some situations, because you can easily get it when you're online, when you've got 3G or if you're on Wi-Fi, but there are certain situations where I don't have either of those. For instance, in our church basement where we'd have Bible class, where I would really like to use it, I don't have 3G, very good coverage, so it's very spotty, and I would really use
it. I think you need to transfer your membership to St. John's and Sleepy Eye.
Because you have Wi-Fi. You're totally wired. Okay.
We are. Even in our church,
I could use my YouVersion and Sleepy Eye.
That's what I do.
Anyway, hopefully they're listening, and they'll provide that in an offline fashion. Almost every other version you can download, except for NIV. I think ASV you can't either, and that's mostly due to copyright, and I understand that. But again, I'd happily pay for it if they could negotiate the rights to be able to do that. But when I'm online or on Wi-Fi, this is really an awesome app for a lot of different reasons. Note-taking is one, note sharing, social sharing. It's got great bookmarking, daily Bible reading plans, you know, everything that is there. So I actually gave that an A, and the only thing kind of from an A+ for me was the inability to get the NIV in an offline format. So that's my roundup of Android apps, and And you did the same on iOS. How did that go?
I did, and I had quite a lengthy list to take a look at. I looked at ESV Bible, Bible Reader for Bible Study, which is from Olive Tree, Holy Bible, Logos Bible Software, Blue Letter Bible, Bible.is, which is one you looked at, Bible Plus One, and the YouVersion Bible. And actually, a late addition to my list, Pastor Steve Bauer, who's our resident Mac Accordance expert, which is Bible study software for the Mac, sent us an email over the holidays and let us know that Accordance released over the holidays an iOS version of their software. So I also installed it and played with it a little bit. So, you know, cutting to the chase, there were a couple of things that I was impressed with as I played with the different applications and things that were different or new in some of them. One was that some of the Bibles allowed you to have multiple versions on the screen at the same time. And one of the ones I was most impressed with is called Holy Bible, and it has an auto-scroll feature, so you can turn on auto-scroll and read through the text and not have to scroll the screen as you go or whatever. And then the ability to have the multiple versions at once, I think, could be a big plus for some people who are interested in looking at, you know, more than
doing
one
some comparison,
translation.
Right.
And they do have a very large selection of downloadable Bibles, so you don't have to be online to get those. Although, I didn't find the NIV in their list of Holy Bibles, so that's a big drawback for me, not having the NIV. Another one that was different that you didn't get into very much, Martin, was Bible.is, and I know you have a review written of that, but the thing that was different about that one was that they also have audio versions of the Bible, and that made it really stand out. So if you're looking for something to be able to listen to Bible text, then you might want to check out the Bible.
That was one of the only ones that did that, as I recall, at least of the ones that I reviewed, and not only just the audio version, but they had dramatized versions, as I recall, right?
That's correct.
Where they had
different NIV.
Voices and yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you I think you were stuck with ESV, KJV, and NRS, New Revised Standard, I guess that is. So,
but that would be some options for you if you were wanting to listen to the word read to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's worth a mention at least.
Yep.
I've already mentioned that I use the YouVersion Bible, just like you do, Martin, and find it to be very adequate, especially with my church's Wi-Fi connection. I can bring it up in Bible class and use the NIV version. But the standout for me, and probably a new pick on my list now, is to actually switch to the Bible Plus One application, which allows you to download the NIV for the low cost of $6.99, which I think was the lowest price I saw anywhere.
Yep.
It's available over Wi-Fi, so if you have that ability to connect and can get it from the web, then it will work that way without any cost whatsoever. But it does allow you to download for $6.99. It has all the same bells and whistles. You can share, you know, with all your social networks. You can bookmark things and add notes and all those kind of things as well. And that's the Bible Plus One.
So that one
got an A.
What does a Plus One stand for?
You know, I don't know, but the name of the company that produces this is Bible One Word or something like that. So I think it's a takeoff on the name of their company.
Okay. I'm looking it up here on the iPad, and that might be something I will try, especially if I can get it offline. So,
good price, too.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Those were my standout selections. I gave B's. You didn't give any B's, but I gave B's to the ones with the split screens, which is the Blue Letter Bible and the Holy Bible, because I think that's a nice feature to have. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Logos and Accordance users out there will want to use the software specific to their Bible study selection, because that allows them to import all their different books and texts and things along with.
Mm-hmm. I don't grade on a curve. So I don't mind gaps in my grading system. I didn't give anybody an F because I could actually read the Bible on all of them. That was my criteria. If I couldn't read your Bible, then you got an F. But one of the, you know, some of the, I was kind of surprised. One of the things that you want with a Bible is the ability to search, right? It's not just going to a verse and scrolling through and reading. You want to be able to search. So, you know, kind of an index way of getting to different topics, or if something comes up and you know it's in a verse someplace else, but you're not quite sure of the reference. And some of these, it almost seems like search is an afterthought, you know, where they thought, oh, we need kind of a way to search. So the ones that I graded the highest actually did a nice job with search, where you could refine your search by just searching this book, or just searching the Old Testament or New Testament, or do Boolean searches where you can add and or fuzzy searches, those kinds of things. And I don't know if you found that in some of these tools as well, but search is kind of important.
Yeah, a slight twist on that is one thing that I appreciated was when they had a very easy way to jump to a particular book or chapter of a book. And some of them have screens with all the books and chapter numbers available, and others it's kind of hard to get to a particular book quickly unless you type out the name.
What a
and
bummer.
So, yeah. I'm sure it's on their feature list for the future if they don't have it yet. But to get the application started, a lot of times you're missing some of those nice features.
Yep. So if our listeners have any feedback on any of these that they've used, and maybe they have their favorite that we didn't rate real highly and they would like to make a case for it, we would love to hear from people who've actually used these a little bit longer than we have. To be honest, the only one that I've really used to any great degree is YouVersion. So maybe there are some things that I'm not seeing in some of these other apps that other people have, or maybe there's some that aren't even on the list that are worth sharing as well. So I think this is probably an app that every one of these apps is something that should be on everybody's home screen if they have a smartphone.
Yep, I took a picture of mine, and you'll see it in the show notes.
And I'm working on that on mine, Sally. Android does not make it real easy to take a screenshot without rooting your phone or doing some other hijinks. So we'll see what I can do. I may have to hold it up to my webcam and take a snapshot.
You go. That'll work.
Yeah, if it could only focus that closely, yeah. Anyway, we'll do something and get that out. Your screenshot, by the way, was excellent, so...
Yeah, that new operating system on the iPod Touch allows you to make folders, so that's really nice to have a whole folder of Bible applications.
Exactly. So, all righty. Should we move on to ministry resources, Sally?
You bet. We thought it was worth giving a shout-out today to the LWMS, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, who now have an official Facebook page.
Yeehaw.
So we'll be including a link in
the
show notes to that. They already have 205 people who like their Facebook page, and if you aren't on that list, we'd encourage you to like their Facebook page as well and get news about all the great work going on at LWMS.
Very good. I'm going to head over there and like the page so I can keep up on what the good ladies are doing there. They do great work.
For sure.
Picks of the week. So we've got our inaugural pick for 2011. Make it a good one, Sally.
I am. It is actually a resource from the New York Times, and it is related to the census data that was recently released based on samples from 2005 to 2009. So this is very current census data. And what they've done is created a series of maps for the entire United States, and you can drill down in these maps to a particular state or county or city or whatever to see a lot of different information, demographic type information about an area of the country. And they have different categories: race and ethnicity, income, housing and families, and education. And the reason I thought it would make a great pick is because our ministers need to know the demographics of the areas in which they serve. I know if you're assigned to a new area or get a call to a new area, that's one of the first things that is got to be tops on your list is getting to know the people
who's
of
there?
That area.
Right. Who am I going to be talking to? Yeah.
And these maps are really impressive. They're a lot of fun to work with. And I, of course, had to take a look at Sleepy Eye and see, you know, what the racial diversity is in the area, what the income levels are, what kind of housing people live in, and, you know, the education levels as well. And Sleepy has a very small population, believe it or not. I can't imagine why more people don't live here. But but you can zoom in and out. You can see the entire surrounding area. The data is just exhaustive. It's just phenomenal how much information that you can get from this set of maps. And I think it's worth our listeners checking out for their particular area of the country.
Good. Could have been a ministry resource as well, then, sounds like.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. My pick is something that's been around since April and everybody's heard of, and you've probably seen the commercials ad nauseum, and that is the Apple iPad. I finally have one in my hands, and I'm using it on a fairly regular basis, and I have to say, and obviously I'm making it in my pick, so I'm impressed with it. It's a good device. A little expensive, I think, for what it does, but for certain tasks, it is, I think, a better device than a computer, and a couple of examples of that. What I use it mostly for right now is reading, and basically what I would call content consumption, not creation. It's not real great at creating content, but it is excellent at allowing you to read content. So one of the best apps out there, and in fact Apple said this was the best app available for the iPad, is something called Flipboard. Basically, it's a news reader, but it puts it in newspaper style. So it'll take your Google Reader, it'll take your Facebook, it'll take your RSS feeds, it'll take Twitter, and basically put them together like a newspaper. It'll add pictures if there are pictures that are linked there. You can click on them, read them, share them via Facebook, whatever. Just a dynamite app, and that's what I spend most of my time in when I'm trying to catch up on what's happening in the news. Another great feature of an app device like this is that it's instant on. My laptop takes about, I don't know about yours, Sally, mine takes about 3 minutes to load. If I just want to check email quick or see what's going on or check the news, I can be doing that in 5 seconds. You know, with something like this, as opposed to loading up the laptop and letting it go through all of its gyrations. And this is just a much better experience. And there are just a number of applications that are useful like that, that you just need to be in and out real quick. But to load up the laptop, to just do that is kind of a deterrent. So that is my pick to start the new year, the Apple iPad. I think as I go through the year, I'll do some blogging about some of the ministry applications, and I'll be trying out some of these Bible apps and Logos and Accordance is on the iPad as well. And I think there's definitely some possibilities for usefulness in ministry, both as a consumption device, but maybe even a presentation tool, as you can hook this up to a projector and such. So there's some opportunities for growth there too.
I'll be curious to hear how the reading of your Kindle books on the iPad compares to the reading of your Kindle books on the Kindle.
Yeah, I do that.
You can do that, can't you?
Yep, I do that. In fact, my Kindle, which I've had for a number of months now sits on my nightstand beside my bed, so I'd use that for night reading. And the iPad I have down in the family room, so if I want to read and I'm not in bed, then I can read it there, and they sync up so that where I leave off, I can pick up in the other location. So
we got our first digital movie package, so you can get the Blu-ray, DVD, digital copies all combined into one. So we were able to put the Fantastic Mr. Fox on our iPod Touches, and that was really impressive. That was one of our Christmas experiences. And as I was reading about predictions for 2011, it said that iPads and smartphones are going to become equipped with tiny projectors, so that as you have video on these smart devices, you'll be able to project a 12-inch screen on the wall or something like that.
Cool.
So it's easier to watch in that way. So lots of interesting things for the future there.
Yep. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's move on to the Wells.net feature of the week.
Sure. Since we're talking Bibles today, Martin, I thought it was worth mentioning the Wells Bible reading series called Through My Bible in 3 Years. And what better time to get started reading through your Bible than the beginning of a new year? And we have so many flavors for you to consume this great content. You can certainly read it online on wells.net. And we'll have a link for that in the show notes, as well as links to the ability to subscribe via email so you can get a text version of it delivered to your email each weekday morning. Mm-hmm. You can also listen to a podcast, and you can subscribe to the RSS feeds of either the text version or the podcast version. And you can also easily share these links via social network channels, because we have share this tabs everywhere throughout the site. So maybe you want to start reading the Bible, and it's a good time for you to share it with your friends on Twitter or Facebook as well. So check out Through My Bible in 3 Years.
Very good. Community feedback.
Oh, we did have a follow-up comment related to ad-free live streaming. We heard from Wayne.
Yes, that was your question that you raised, right?
Yes, that's right. We have a lot of congregations that are interested in live streaming their worship now, but the advertisements are very heavy on the free services that are out there. Well, Wayne Cattell wrote to us and said that he uses Syncopa, which is Syncopa.com, and small usage is free. The first level up is only about $90 a year, which compares to some of these services charge $90 a month or more. And so it looks like a solution that may work for our congregations. And Wayne apparently is using it and it's happy with the service. So if you're interested in an ad-free live streaming service, maybe you want to check out Syncopa.com.
Very good.
Next up, we had some voicemail, Martin.
Yes, Gail Potrat sent us a voicemail over the holidays. Let me cue that up here.
Hi, guys. This is Gail Potrat calling. A couple things today. I just finished listening to show 161 and was so inspired by the Getting Things Done interview. I would like to know, Martin, when are you teaching that class again? I would like to sign up for that. I have to admit to myself at last that my memory, which has always been very good, and Google Calendar have pulled me through the last few years, but can't do it anymore. Got to get a new system. So sign me up. When are you going to be teaching? Also, Sally, I have a new iPhone, finally, and this is my first smartphone ever. As you know, we've had this discussion. I wanted you to know that it is possible to use an iPhone and use Google Voice and an app called TalkTone to make calls kind of cheating on the AT&T signal, so it's possible to do and not depend on their signal. So you might want to check into that. It's working well for me. And finally, to both of you from one of your many podcasting followers, thank you so much for what you do. Truly, so many resources in this show alone were of benefit for me and a lot of other people, I'm sure. God has certainly blessed your endeavor, and I just want to wish both of you a very joyous and blessed Christmas.
Very nice, Gail. I have to smile that she's got an iPhone. We've kind of commiserated that we are outside of the reach of AT&T in our little niches that we live in. But I did hear over the holidays that New Ulm, which is only 15 minutes away from Sleepy Eye, now has 3G coverage, which is a big deal for New Ulm. They didn't have that. So I thought, well, if they got 3G, certainly AT&T has reached 15 minutes down the highway to Sleepy Eye. So I looked up the coverage map, and literally we're within 5 minutes of AT&T coverage.
It's getting closer.
Nothing here. Zero. No coverage in Sleepy Eye. So no iPhone for me, at least not until they go with Verizon.
Yeah, and hopefully that will happen. We're hearing rumors that that may happen and maybe even an announcement at CES this week. So keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the comments, Gail. And by the way, I am teaching what I call Mind Like Water, a productivity system for shepherds for summer quarter, which is at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in Mequon. And it's a one-week course. It's a two-hour class, June 27th through July 1st. And that's open to any called worker, summer quarter is. So that is the next one, at least on my calendar. Now, sometimes these pop up based on requests, but at least the next one on my calendar is June 27th to July 1st in beautiful Mequon, Wisconsin at summer quarter. Good. Thanks for the kind words, too, Gail. And Gail is a very big part of this show, as she comes on about once a month as we talk classroom technology. So we will, she's gracious, been very gracious in doing that, giving up of her time. And I think she's going to continue to do that over 2011.
There you go. Brand new year of podcasting, and we got to have Gail along for the ride.
That's right. So
that's great. Last listener comment that we're going to share today, we have lots of them to sift through from the holiday season, but we wanted to share one from Marin McPeak. It's a cool link to making a poster, poster ideas, poster supplies, and it's all at artskills.com. Marin says you can design your own poster and then get it printed there. So I think my kids will enjoy checking out the possibilities here, and maybe with the poster wizard we can have some posters in our grade school.
Very
and
cool.
So check it out. Thanks for the link, Maren.
All right, that's going to about do it for the show this week, Sally. It's good to get back in the saddle again. We took a couple weeks off because we did a pre-recording so that we could enjoy the holidays with our families and not have to worry about producing a podcast. And hopefully everybody enjoyed our picks show last week. We certainly enjoyed putting it together and continuing to provide these podcasts to you. Next week, we will be returning to our book, right, Sally?
That's right, Leading 21st Century Skills. We made it to Chapter 5 in the book, which is titled Instructional Strategies for Teaching and Learning with Technology. So getting more into things like WebQuest and field trips online and online mentors and maybe Skyping with an author and those kind of concepts.
Cool.
It sounds like a real interesting chapter.
Yep, so tune in next week for that. Let's close the show with the music of Revelation from Wisconsin Lutheran College, their song Such Joy from their album We Walk by Faith. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a blessed new year.
There's a peace that floods my soul when the Spirit of the Lord is in control. Unspeakable joy, so